Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everybody, what's going on? This is Ori Styler and my good friend Gareth Morgan from the What Culture podcast. We are back, first one of 2021. It's been a rough year last year. We're looking forward to this year being a much better year, not with just the climate, but also with movie releases, I believe. And the only way that we can look forward to some great movie releases is that we decide that we may need to look just a little bit back. So, Gareth, tell us, what is it we're going to be doing today that's going to be a kind of a looking back ethos today that allows us to also look forward? What's our thing today, Gareth?
It's going to be a bit of a celebration, isn't it, really? Because over this kind of Christmas period, there was a big release on Disney Plus. You may have seen it. You may have missed it. You may have been under a rock somewhere. But that film was Soul, and that was on Pixar's newest release. And I managed to watch it over Christmas. I saw on your Twitter that you watched it as well. So it's one of those where it's probably touched a lot of homes this Christmas. So I thought, why not come here for our first ever of 2021, our first podcast of 2021. Let's do a top 10, our top 10s when it comes to Pixar movies. So I've done my own top 10. Ori, you've done yours as well. So we need to go through these. We need to have a bit of a discussion. It's going to be controversial, this. I think it's going to be controversial from the off, because there's going to be a few that may even not make the top 10, which shows you just how stellar this back catalogue is when it comes to Pixar films. So would you like to go first? Your 10 to 6. We'll do the 10 to 6s first.
10 to 6. Okay.
And then we'll go 5 to 1 in the second part of this podcast. So Ori, take it away. 10 to 6.
All right. Before we do that, I would like to say, if anybody's offended by my listing, I shouldn't care, but I do, because I know how emotional it can get when it comes to deciding on which Pixar movie is better than another and which ones didn't make a top 10. They've got so many titles. Mm-hmm. So I had to narrow it down. And even then, that became difficult with micro franchises within Pixar, which I'll get onto in just a bit. Can I just do an honorable mention that didn't make it into my top 10 and I tried my absolute hardest to squeeze it in there somehow, but it just didn't make it, was Cars.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, okay. I tried my best. Cars is a great movie. Number two is not. Number three is decent enough. But Cars, for me, the first one, was one that I really, really loved. I tried to get it into this top 10, but there is such a plethora of great movies that Pixar have done, especially as time goes along. I noticed that they don't get worse. They only get better in their storytelling and also in their animation, that it has pushed out some of the older movies. So it's a controversial thing to say. Hard to say to people, you know, some of the old ones are worse. It's all about the newer ones, where actually some of the older films are what we call the classics, and you have to kind of pay attention to just how impactful they were back then. But Pixar is a company that get better and better as time goes along. All right, without further ado, my number 10 to 6 in my top 10 Disney Pixar list. Number 10, I went with Wall-E. Number 9, Monsters, Inc. Number 8, Onward. Number 7, A Bug's Life. And number 6, Up. How much do you hate me right now?
I see there's some in there that I was a bit shocked to see them that low, I'll be honest. there's one or two that haven't even made my top 10, which is a bit of a shock at this point.
Okay.
I'm going to read mine off just so we can compare them. And then we'll go into detail on this little batch that we've got.
Go ahead.
My number 10, I've got I've not got any honorable mentions. I've been ruthless. Sorry. Okay. I'm not can't cover my tracks of this. I'm putting myself out there. I'm going to get killed. All right. Okay. Number 10 is actually Cars. It's your honorable mention. It's my number 10.
Mine almost made it. So I'm and not mad at that. I'm not
I've
mad.
Got one. You're going to be upset by this. I'm sorry. But number 9 is Coco.
What?
I know.
That
I
low
know.
Down. Oh.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll fly through these. So I've got Incredibles. The Incredibles at number 8.
Is that number 1? Incredibles, the first one?
That's the first Incredibles, yeah.
Okay.
Then I'm bracing myself again here. I've got number 7, Toy Story. The first Toy Story.
Okay.
And number 6, there's a lot of recency bias here. I really liked it. It had a bit of an impact on me. I'm going to go Soul. I really like Soul. I'm going to throw it straight into number 6 there. So let's break some of these down. Like, what's the one that you, out of your like 10 through 6... that could have potentially got higher. It was just the case of incredible competition that you've got here in Pixar.
So with my top 10 to 6, I tried to get up higher and it didn't work for me. Only because, again, with Pixar and their pulling at the heartstring tactic of making great movies now, they've done so many afterwards that actually have beaten Up in my eyes at that. Up was that one where everybody was like, oh my God, these guys have made me cry within the first 10 minutes of a movie and it's an animation. And that was a thing that Pixar had done kind of for the first time during that time. Mm. But now if you go into some of the great movies they've had, Onward, Coco, Soul, Inside Out, they've replicated that formula, but to some degree done it better. So that thing that made me love Up was the fact that it was so emotional for me at the beginning now isn't the biggest selling point of a Pixar movie. Of it being a Pixar movie, because now Pixar have done it so many times.
I agree. But for Up, for me, massively, I love that film. And it's not actually made my top 10 Up. I love that film. It's not. But the only reason for me is I massively just remember that film for that opening sequence, which is an incredible just... pulling on your heartstrings, just so poignant, and it just hits you right in the gut from the off. And as a kid watching that, I can't imagine what your mind must be going through at that point. But that's purely what I kind of remember it for. There's a few other moments throughout the film. It's still a good film across the board, but that's the lasting memory for me when it comes to Up. And you just, when you're looking at the rest of the Pixar entries that we've got, they're just stacked with what they offer just throughout the entire film.
Do you know what else I loved about it? I think, which I tried to make it a bit higher, was Ed Asner, who does the voice of Carl. I love him as a voice actor in so many great like animations. If you pay attention to him in many animations, his voice is so unique, it stands out. He's in the Boondocks. He's he's got a small role in Cobra Kai, but just anytime he's in any like film, TV program, animation, that voice of his that he has, it just stands out, and you always instantly go, oh, that's him. I mean, that is what I think made me really, I'm someone who pays attention to a lot of voice acting as a voice actor myself. And I think because he brings that character Carl to life with such a booming, gruff, cantankerous voice, I think throughout the film, it made me really love this movie enough to try and push it up, but I simply couldn't in the top 5. It made my top 10, but not my top 5.
It is interesting that you say that in terms of like vocal performances throughout Pixar, because it's such a dependency. Like, so it's something that these films do literally live or die by. These incredible vocal performances, and Pixar have had some absolute juggernauts, and like arguably two of the biggest to ever jump into that world, that world of voice acting in Pixar, probably Tom Hanks and Tim Allen, obviously with Toy Story, which I'm sorry, I really wanted to get it higher because it's the OG. It's the one that started the game. Like if we didn't have Toy Story, we wouldn't have any of this. It's just the way it goes.
But is it because you only you've put it in there because it's like you said, the OG?
Yeah. It is a little bit like the story itself is quality. Like it's something that it changed the way we looked at toys forever. I'll tell you that much.
Definitely.
It was one of them. Like, you're not telling me I had a Woody doll as well after this. Like I got like a big Woody and I had a Buzz as well. And it was one of those things where I was like, yeah, I've got him. And then instantly I was thinking, right, if I leave my room, is that what this is? Is this going to start now? And that you got to tip your cap to Pixar being able to do that to kids, like just filling their imagination with this world that they always believed, like in a weird way as a kid, you're always like, yeah, you play with your toys and you've got your own imagination thing going on. But seeing it realized like that in such beautiful, the animation was obviously so ahead of its time at that point, and see how far it's come now. And you look at the likes of Toy Story 4, which again, great film that came out.
Yeah.
I nearly said last year, 2019 now. And that again was an excellent film. Like you can see the leaps that we've had in technology, but it's tough to crack into this top 10. I think Toy Story and another Toy Story film makes my top 10. Although I will say that it's higher up.
I was worried. That's the thing I was wondering if I know that you put Toy Story in your top 10, but it was between 10 and 6. I was wondering if there was another one that made it higher up that, and then I would be able to go, okay, I can see why that one got pushed down. It's the original. However, like we said earlier on, the development in their storytelling and their animation, I mean, you cannot ignore just the leaps and bounds that Pixar have made. So if another Toy Story made it into your top five, I would be more than understanding. I'm happy to hear that rather than just thinking that that was the best one that you could find was Toy Story 1 and it made it in the top five. I mean, these were the films that started all the Pixar films, weren't they?
Yeah, definitely. They just got the ball rolling to the extent where we are now. And they've got so much to kind of be indebted to the people who were behind that first film. But I'm very curious because you popped Onward in there. And I loved Onward. Like that was one of the last films, I watched in a cinema. Like, it was honestly, like I remember watching that at the start of last year and it had a bit of fanfare when it came out. Obviously, you had Tom Holland and you had, I don't know why I nearly said Jake Gyllenhaal. It's just because of their bromance. Chris Pratt.
I can see why you said it, though.
Do you know what I mean? It's the association in my head. But
yeah,
that was an excellent film. It didn't get, I don't think, the props it deserved. A lot of people were like, yeah, it's Pixar, but it's just kind of paint-by-numbers Pixar. I was like, no, it wasn't. It hit a different type of nerve, I think, in terms of just family and like what it is to what constitutes kind of a role model. You know what I mean? A role model, a father figure, like, because it's such a prevalent thing throughout society nowadays where you've got like a single parent families and like where you kind of get those role models from when you don't have the traditional father or mother figure there in your life. And I thought it was such a creative way of tackling that subject. Again, Pixar just taking really difficult subjects and just not glossing over things, but just presenting them in such an easily accessible way.
Very true. You're right. What Pixar like to do is, over time, you can see, because even down to A Bug's Life, I'll explain in just a second, in a lot of their movies, they have a theme, which if you really pay deeper attention to, tends to be more personal to individuals on a regular basis, or when I say regular basis, it happens to us every now and then. It could be something of that nature or something that impacts so many people around us that individually we may not recognize, but we always know somebody who is going through that. And a lot of these movies that they've so fantastically pieced together and deliver on telling you these stories, on telling you these little the nuanced ways of having a theme, which if you were to take yourself out of the animation and go, what does that actually mean? I mean, if you look at Onward, we're talking about not just single parenting, but also the fact that we had a young man who has no relationship with his father and idealizes what his father would have been like if he was to still be alive. If you look at Inside Out, it talks about puberty and mental health awareness. It also, if you look at even down to A Bug's Life, now this is one that I was going to say as well. I put this in my top 10. A Bug's Life may have been a bit further down, but when I watched it again, when I watched it again, with controversy aside, Kevin Spacey's character within A Bug's Life was so well delivered. And during the protest that we saw this year, oh, not this year, sorry, I forget we're in 2021.
Yeah,
during the protest, it's going to take a minute for me to realize that we've now passed that 2020 mark now. In 2020, all the protests that we saw, there were clips from A Bug's Life where I didn't understand when I was younger was so poignant in people's right to protest, people's right to stand up for themselves as a community and those who feel downtrodden. In A Bug's Life, that whole movie is about that. And many people were taking these clips and posting them up on social media relating to the marches, the protesting, and people who were campaigning for the rights of different communities that had been just oppressed for so many years. And when I really paid attention to Pixar's kind of theme across many of their films, they have that within them. So Onward was one that I did like. It was only in my top 10, but down in my 10 to 6, because I feel that even though that was definitely within the storyline and the feels there were in that storyline and it was delivered very, very well, I feel what was missing for me was the idea of them being these mythical, magical creatures and it being leaned into a lot more, as opposed to it feeling like a brother story of a journey. And then at the end, you went into the whole kind of mythological creatures then coming out. I can understand why they did that. I think for me, I just wanted more in that from that side, as opposed to just me understanding that this young man is going through a lot when it comes to losing his father and trying to reconcile his views and his knowledge of who his father is against what other people have told him. It had a great ending. It was a great storyline, but I don't think that they did it as well as some of the other films I'll mention on this list.
That's it. It's tough competition, Ori. A lot of it is that. It's just some of these films would break into top fives of just any other kind of studio or anything, any other animation studio easily.
Yeah.
They're all epic films, but when you're talking about Pixar, you got some big hitters, all right? Do you want me to go first with my 5-1, or do you want to go with your 5-1?
Who went first, me or you? No, you go first this time, because I went first last time.
Okay, so this will be interesting, because there's a couple that you've already said that are in my top five, so it'll be very interesting to see what you think. So I've got number 5 is Inside Out.
Okay, not mad at that.
No, I love that film. And also got number 4, Monsters, Inc.
Okay.
Gone. And then number 3, Toy Story 2. And we've got number 2, A Bug's Life.
Hey!
And then my number 1, it's just got a special place in my heart, Finding Nemo.
Okay.
My number 1.
I get, okay. So this, I'm not mad at any of that.
Yeah?
I'm not mad at any of that. I really...
company there.
Can I tell you that I looked at Finding Nemo and I really tried my hardest to put it in my top 10. I did. I tried. It didn't make it. Not because it's a bad film. It's a fantastic film. I feel that maybe this is me. I need to go back and watch it again to really appreciate it. Whereas these ones that I'm mentioning in my top 10 now... my top 5 rather, are ones that it pulled me back to watch again, and then I enjoyed them again. I think my last outing with Finding Nemo wasn't the Finding Nemo movie, it was Finding Dory. And I think because it felt like the same story twice, Finding Dory wouldn't have made it in my top 10, but Finding Nemo definitely would have if I had gone back and watched it again more recently, whereas all these other ones, I've gone back and watched again much more recently. Even the ones that didn't make the top 10, Nemo wasn't one of them. I'm so sorry.
It's great, but you've got to let me know now what has made this
okay.
Top 5.
So, all right, I'm struggling with splitting franchises here, but I'm going to do it now. I don't know. All right. Splitting franchises, if I have to do it, number 5, Toy Story 2. Number 4, Soul, which is a very new entry, but what an entry.
I'm glad we'll talk about that then.
Definitely.
I'm glad we'll get that one.
Number 3, Inside Out.
Okay.
Number 2, Incredibles 1.
Ooh.
But I almost pieced them both together because number 2 was a very good sequel.
Yeah.
Number 1, of course, is Coco.
Right.
Is Coco. Okay.
I had a feeling. I had a feeling. Well, I think we should start with Coco then, to be honest, because Coco.
Okay.
What a film.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Easily, Coco's a number one. I'll tell you why. It's been a very long time since I watched a movie and cried. I don't cry during films. It doesn't happen. But celebrating, seeing how they celebrated Dia de los Muertos in this movie, seeing when it wasn't, obviously Coco is the young kid's bisabuela, which is great grandmother. Seeing her cry at the end, after going through all the journey of him going to the land of the dead, finding out who his father is, coming back, having to still really rush and then catch before she loses her mind because of age and dementia, and her memory. And then afterwards, the next scene, even though everybody's won and everything's done, that same character is now no longer with us, and you see her. Listen, why am I lost it.
Mate.
I couldn't hold it together. It brought me to tears, and I don't cry during movies.
I watched it again, actually, before we came on here this morning, because I was putting together this list and was having a bit of a look through and thought, I'll watch that, because but when you put down Coco, you go, yeah, great film. We've not mentioned a lot throughout this, the world building, how incredible Pixar
yeah.
world building just across the board. But in Coco, specifically, the Land of the Dead, it's just incredible.
Something else.
What they
Something
do with
else.
It.
Yeah.
That last moment, well, one of the last moments in the film where he sings Remember Me to his great-great-grandmother, or great-grandmother, and it's... Oh, it tugged this morning, and I started tearing up a little bit, and I was like, he's just Ori, that guy, he dragged me back into this Coco world, and I've got to throw it in the top 10.
Thank you. Listen, it was so well done, and it's one of the best payoffs in any Pixar movie that I've ever watched. In terms of the amount of payoffs that you get when he finds out who his father really is. That, for me, just the pace of that, when they're in the cave. Spoilers alert. Sorry, anybody. You should have watched the movie. I'm sorry. This Coco came out in 2017. Disney Plus is available. Spoilers alert, but... Anyway, I'm sorry.
I can't believe you didn't say that at the start. Well, now you know.
Sorry. Okay. But yeah, basically, when he's sitting in the cave and, you know, just I'm trying to say it without saying too much, but he looks at the person he's been traveling with the whole time, and the pace, and they look at each other, and they look at the pictures, and just that kind of the tempo that slows down, and it makes everything click. And that isn't even the final one. There's several different payoffs, and in a movie where it had so much kind of weighing on representation, on great storytelling, and also sensitivity when it came to this being a massive event that a lot of the Mexican, not even just Mexican, many of the South American communities and Latin American communities celebrate, and it be delivered so well for those who may not even know or understand its prominence in the community. It was so well done. And to have all the payoffs in there as well, hit every beat so accurately. That had to be my number one. It really did.
It's one of those things I think that Pixar, again, they excel so well with when it comes to the films, is when they do kind of focus on more human stories, not the anthropomorphic stuff and everything else. When they do kind of go towards more grounded, you could say grounded, even though it is going to the land of the dead and everything else, it's grounded in a holiday, a celebration. They again just knock out of the park every time, and it's great for people like myself. I don't celebrate the Day of the Dead or anything like that. I don't know massively a lot about that holiday, but then watching Coco, it just opens up the door to you, and you go, oh wow, and you explore that world, and you feel it just wash over you, and it's the characters make it so easy to get lost in it. And I think I'm going to focus on another one in your top five, just purely because we didn't really talk about it in my lower down in this top 10, Soul. Okay. I think Soul does that as well. I think it just kind of, it's a great film where it just, you've got obviously the far off concept of the soul world, the great before, as it's called, obviously. the Joe Gardner, the jazz musician turned teacher turned potentially jazz musician again, and then dies on the day, gets his big break again. Spoiler, big spoiler.
If you haven't watched it,
yeah, you know what I mean? Like, just give it a watch. And like that, to be fair, that isn't even, that happens so early in the film. I don't think it classes as a spoiler. There's so many other things that go down in this film, and it's just giving you like a window into not strictly the world of jazz, but a little bit of, you get a bit of that flavor, just the how the mind of a musician works, like that kind of tick that just keeps ticking over and getting you spark and things like that. And I think they do this so well all the time. They just take, they get a concept, they get a little thing and just expand on it and just throw out little fragments of other ideas, that these really high concepts that for any other genre would struggle so hard to do. And then what they do is just take that concept and throw it into what should be a family film, a children's film. Like it's I think they've really squashed that notion now that these are children's films. I think I think they are now family films. Definitely. In every sense of the word. They absolutely appeal to every single person that you can sit there and watch. I watched that next to my mother, and she was just like tearing up, and she was like, "Oh my god, this is beautiful." And I was like, "Yeah, you're so damn well right."
When I watched Soul, for me, it would have been higher up if there wasn't. It would have been higher up if there wasn't the other films that we'll talk about in a bit. And because you are right, Coco and Soul for me were very similar. They talked about the afterlife. They also did world building in worlds that were not anthropomorphic. They were literally like humanized animations, as opposed to characters where we've got onwards where you had warlocks and elves and, you know, mystical creatures. But when they did that, they took it upon themselves to go, if we're going to make sure these characters have some real resemblance to the community that we're representing, we're going to do this properly. And they do that very well with, let's say, Coco, let's say Soul. There's a few scenes which I wanted to highlight as a young Black British boy who's grown up and had to go to the barbers every week. That scene in the barbershop was damn near perfect in terms of the like down to the little nuances of the hair cutting and the hair still being on the floor until someone comes to sweep it up, the fact that the chair at the front is always the newest barber and people didn't even want to sit in that chair, even down to the Dez, who was the main barber, the beard that he had, and just the if you were to pay attention to just the detail in everything within that particular scene, the conversations that were happening, the banter that goes back and forth between different chairs. There was so much in that I said they didn't just throw together a movie. They really sat down and said, how do we give an experience where we can really show the different facets of communities, whether it be the African-American community, whether it be the jazz community, whether it be barbershop culture. Let's throw this in here and deliver it accurately while still having the out of this world storytelling, which is them going to the great before, also facing the idea of having to move on to the great after. And they did it so well in Seoul. I watched it one day, and the next day I said, let me watch this again and see if I feel exactly the same way. And I felt even better about it. It was so well done. And the voice acting was just out of this world. I mean, it was great to see Graham Norton.
I'm a big Graham Norton guy.
I purposely didn't look at the cast beyond knowing that Jamie Foxx was going to be the main voice. And when I heard Graham's voice, I said, no, straight away. Richard Ayoade as well, as one of the Soul Sorters. It was so well, like the voices were so well done. And do you know who's the killer voice for me was Rachel House as Terry? Because Terry's voice, Terry was supposed to be a male character. Rachel, who's got quite a raspy, deep voice, an Australian accent as well, doing Terry. Oh my God, it was absolutely amazing how they were able to play on this. New Zealand. My apologies, but yeah, it was everything came together so well with this that gave you kind of, like you said, the world building. I almost felt like if I was to pass, that would be how like life would be in the afterlife or the great before. It was Soul was really, really good. The feels didn't hit me as much as Coco, but yes, it was on its way.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I mean. And that's again what I love about Pixar. Different films resonate obviously with different people in different kind of ways. And I'd say it's quite an emotional film in its own right, but Coco just takes emotion sprints with it. It's that kind of film. But equally for me, I felt that's kind of how I relate to Finding Nemo, because we were speaking before about Up, and like obviously had that first opening sequence where he just smashes you in the gut, and then you spend the rest of the film just trying to pick up pieces of your heart and tears off the floor. It's that kind of film. But obviously you start there with Nemo's mum dying in the first couple of minutes as a kid. Came out in 2003. I was in year three when this came out, and my little heart broke because I watched it in the cinema. And I think it was one of those, do you know when you go to the cinema as a kid, and I've got one of those families where we turn up literally like 20 minutes late. So as we got in, like the first bit had already happened, and like we saw when Nemo was in the school of fish and he was going to school and all the rest of it. And I was like, it's a lovely film. And then I got it on DVD as a kid and watched that scene. And I was like, this isn't finding what's happening. It just changed the complexion of the film.
Yeah.
For me, that's Pixar at its best, in my opinion, purely because, again, the underwater world that they build in that film is, in my mind, it's unrivaled when it comes to the worlds that they built throughout Pixar. So you've got the more realistic Soul, the Earth in Soul, not the actual Soul world, because that's brilliant. That's just hyper animated. And you've got these great ones in Cars. You've got Monsters, Inc., where they build this monster world. I used to literally sit and watch the bit where when it was Sully and Mike, they used to walk to work just purely because you could see all the monster world and see everyone living in their own lives and I love that. And I think with Finding Nemo, you get a sense of that as they're traveling throughout the journey. You see these different pockets of the ocean and everything's just crafted so well, like going through the jellyfish jungle, whatever it is. And then you go into the East Australian current. Is it the EAC when you go through
EAC? That's correct. Yeah.
Crush. It's just every single character in it. I feel like every little section of this film has got an iconic character in it. Like you meet Dory first off. Wow, iconic character. Then you meet Bruce. Yeah, another big one. And you go through the jellyfish. Then you meet Crush, and you've got all the people in the dentist office. It's just everything. It's just a film for me that ticks all my boxes as a young kid who just wants like crazy animation and loads of wisecracks. And as you get older, it just washes over you this feeling of it's family. Again, it's the single parent family thing, which is going to resonate
with somebody. Very true, actually. Well, yeah,
it is that. But then equally, it's the bonds that you get along the way. Do you know what I mean? Like you meet all these people and you come out of your shell when you're having to go all that distance just to find your kid and get your kid back. Marlin grows into a completely different human being by the end of the film. It's just
very true.
For me, it's my perfection when it comes to a Pixar movie.
I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it. I think maybe I slept on it because it's one I haven't watched as of recent. And that's my bad. Maybe if I watched it again recently, but there's so many of them to go through. I missed some. So I've seen all of them, but I've missed watching them back again recently.
Yeah.
And just going off of memory. And I feel because you've said that, it's interesting. I didn't even think top of my head that it, and this is probably on, this is bad of me. I didn't think of it as a story where there was tragedy at the beginning, even though that is such a poignant part of the movie. It's what sets Marlon's character, is the loss of his wife and all the unborn children. I didn't think of it that way, the same way that I would have done, let's say, Up, where he loses his wife, or in I would say Onward to a degree. But and I think it's because in my head, maybe when I was younger, I didn't pay attention to it as much as and how poignant that would be for somebody as I would do now. I wouldn't be as sensitive to it as I would do now. In my head, it's fish and they're telling a story and they're doing all the crazy things that fish may do. But now when I look at it back and you've actually thrown that to me, I could probably watch it and then sympathize with more of an adult head as opposed to the child that was like, okay, we're going to watch this story about fish. So I need to do that again. I feel so bad now that I didn't do that again recently.
Oh, no. There's that many get lost in them. Like, the Toy Stories, as soon as you start looking at all those, it's like, for me, the second Toy Story, like the sequel, it just raised the bar in such a different way. I think the third and fourth one, like both of those, they're great. Like for what they do, like they expand upon the story. They always try and up the ante and just change it and maybe go down a path that you don't expect. But yeah. Toy Story 2. Did you have Toy Story 2 in your top five again?
Toy Story 2 was my... So I had the franchise firstly, right. And I said, let me pick one of them. And I said, all right, let me go for two. Because two is of those four. Two felt like the story developed without it being a cash grab as well.
Yeah.
Number three and four felt like we're going to monopolize on the fact that this is so popular. We'll do it well, but there isn't, the heart behind it isn't 100% the storytelling. It's actually 95% that, but 5% because we'll get some money. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, when I watched three and four. It's like it felt like a story that was being made because it had to be made, because at that point they didn't do sequels, they hadn't done any sequels at that point, and it was like, right, we need to do Toy Story again because these characters have got so much more space to grow into, you know what I mean? I think that's a creepy, not creepy film, but there's some moments in that film when you look back now and it's like, whoa, like it's the idea of like what's the word? Monopolizing to a certain extent, like Woody and Jesse, Bullseye, Stinky Pete, being pulled into a cult almost. If you look back at it, it's very,
of course,
intense at times. You know what I mean? Like they're like, Woody, join us, and he's like, yeah, actually, this is a good idea. And like as a kid, I was like, Woody, what are you doing, man? You've got Buzz and the gang back at Andy's. They're coming out this way to save you, and it's. I think in terms of comedic beats, we've not necessarily gone into too much detail on that, but across the board with Pixar, they tend to pitch the comedy really well.
In every film.
They don't just strike out, and you don't really sit there watching a Pixar film going, this is just not funny. Like there's always at least one or two moments where you just laugh out loud. And I always remember the, I don't want to use my head thing in Toy Story 2. You know when they run with him through the air vent?
Oh, yeah. And then we use your head. And then it's like they all look at him and all of a sudden, like through the vent. Yeah, I remember that now.
Then the bloopers, they don't open the grid on the bloopers.
Those, listen, the blooper reel. One day we got to do a blooper reel list. Goodness. But the blooper reel list that makes top for me is always Pixar, but like the Bugs Life, they did it first.
Yeah.
And then Toy Story 2 said, we're going to do this as well. And they linked back to A Bug's Life with the leaf, and it had Heimlich, his name? I think it was Heimlich.
Yeah, the caterpillar was like, hello!
Yes. Do you know how amazing that is to sit there and go, we're going to do bloopers, but because we're in animation, we have to animate bloopers to make it out like it's... Oh, they were... That conceptually is brilliant. No one had ever done that really before.
Even as a kid trying to get your head around that, like you were like, wait, is this real?
How did they do bloopers with it? It gave the characters so much more dimension as well as a child, because as an adult, you know that they had to forcibly make those and script those bloopers. Mm. But as a child, you're like, the ants got it wrong. Oh, see what happened there. And I saw when Woody blinked when he wasn't supposed to, and things like that. That was really good that they did that.
That's right. So we've got our top tens there, both of our top tens. Are there any across the board that we feel like maybe after talking about them now, they could maybe be pushed up a little bit in either list? Is there any that you think deserve a bit more of a mention? What kind of stand out to you?
That didn't get a mention on, are we talking on my list, your list, or both of our lists?
Either actually? List. They may have been mentioned, but we've just not really gone into detail on them. They may have been mentioned on the lists.
Monsters University was a great story, but again, it was a continuation of Monsters, Inc. So I'm not mad that it didn't make the list, because at least one of them did, and I think the better of the two films did. Ratatouille, that film, I think it was a really good film. However, it just made it a little bit more difficult to go, there is a rat in the kitchen making food. It's a bit tricky. I'm not saying it's impossible. It just is a bit tricky for us to almost let go of our restrictions and our need for things to make sense, because it was rats cooking in a kitchen in a world where humans were represented as humans. So, but it is a good film. It's a great concept. I don't think it would have been made it up there. Brave. Do you know what? I had no idea what Brave was about until I got Disney Plus and said, all right, fine, I'll watch it. That's one thing that's really good about Pixar. They'll show you the outline of a story. You'll never know from a trailer how deep the story goes. With Soul, people thought it was about jazz music. Mm-hmm. With Inside Out, people thought it was merely about just living life and your emotions talking, not knowing how deep they were going to go with that. With some of the films that we mentioned, with Coco, no one really knew it was about going to the land of the dead. It was mainly, again, about music, but not to the depths of what they went into. And I think when they've done what they've done with this, with Brave, is they hid it so well, I had no want or care to even watch the film. I just thought it was going to be a film about a young girl who was very similar to a kind of and like an action character, but just in animation. I had no idea there'd be a relationship building between her and her mother and the whole concept of the bear. So I didn't watch it until recently. And when I did watch it, I was like, it's a great try, but it just didn't land for me as much.
Yeah, and not everyone are. I think that's another valid thing with Pixar. It's like they just tend to offer films out. They don't try and please everyone with the films. They go, here's the concept. Here's what we're going to do. There it is. If it's for you, great. We've got another good film that you love. If it's not, we've got about 20 others that you probably will. There's genuinely something for everyone. And I think that's probably a nice way to end this, really, when it comes to... It has been a celebration when it comes to Pixar. There's no real... You can't really argue over these. It's like even if you don't necessarily agree with the placement of some of these like films in the actual list and either of our lists across the board, I don't think you could say, oh no, that's the worst one. That and they've got that at number four. That's they just don't have that in Pixar. Even if you don't necessarily think it's the best, you still think it's pretty darn good. So.
Except Cars 2, sorry.
Cars 2, apart from Cars 2. Right. I didn't want to go there.
I couldn't. I love Cars, but Cars 2 was so bad to me.
I literally, as a punk coming here, I didn't want to throw Cars 2 under the bus, okay? I didn't want to do it. They want to flatten it under another bus, okay? We're not going to end on this note, Ori, all right? So... don't forget, like, find this and wherever you find your podcast right now, go and check out the film podcast, the other film podcast that we've done as well. I think we did like the films of 2020 on Netflix, things like that. And we talked about all the new Disney films that have been released in the Disney conference call thing that happened a couple of weeks back. Follow myself at gmorgan04. Where can they find you, Ori?
Follow me at Ori Styler, AuriStyla.
Don't forget to follow everybody here at What Culture, over on Twitter as well. But in the meantime, until we bring you yet another one of these bad boy podcast things that we do about things and talk about stuff, have the best time you can. 2021 is getting off to a good start. It was snowing outside my window already. That's why I just kept looking over to my left. It was snowing.
You're lucky you. We've got too much pollution where I live for that. Sorry.
You get acid snow where you live. So, we'll see you very, very soon. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.